Hey, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Man, thank you guys for tuning in for week 15 or episode 15 of season 2 of the Unchained Podcast. I hope you guys are enjoying the messages, the word that is being brought forth through God's divine revelation, man, through Bible study and prayer and going to the Lord for you guys. It makes me excited, man. It makes me excited to be a conduit of the gospel, to be a vessel, to be able to pour into you guys. It makes me super excited. Now, it is challenging because I know that in my position as a teacher and a leader, I am held accountable for my actions and how I present you to the Lord. But, that's not always an easy task. And some of you are not in that role. Some of you guys are on the receiving end. But, you know, be that as it may, man, I'm thankful for you guys and all of you who are in my life that encourage me, that inspire me, that motivate me to become better, to do better. I want you guys to know, man, that I wear a lot on my shoulders to be able to do this for you guys every week. And it just means the world to me that you guys are tuning in weekly. I thank you so much for your dedication, your generosity. I thank you guys for your gifts. If you guys are looking to, donate to the Unchained Podcast to keep us on the air, to be able to expand our message in a more versatile way, you guys can do that through Cash App at No Chains On Me. That's chains with a Z. That's No Chains On Me. Or you can go directly through the Anchor platform at anchor.fm/unchained. And then you guys have tithing or donation options on there, right there from the main page. But again, I'm grateful and thankful for all you guys. With that being said, man, I'm super ready for some warm weather. If you know me, I hate cold weather. It has been blistering cold outside. I don't do wind chill. I don't do the cold factor at all. But for some reason, man, I have been detailing cars in this weather, man. So it's been insane. But if you guys didn't know, like, car detailing is a hidden talent of mine, and I've been doing it for years. But for some reason, the past 4 or 5, it has been 30 to 35 degrees. I'm not sure what I've been thinking. I always try to wait for warmer weather, but man, you know how meteorologists are, man. Sometimes they don't always get it right. It's not their fault, man, but it is what it is. So I just go out there and get it done anyway. But yeah, man, I'm just ready for the cold weather to be over, man. It's getting on my nerves. I'm not a cold weather person. I don't like my hands and feet being cold, and I definitely don't like the cold air blowing against my arms. Yeah, y'all probably saying, Keelan, you need to man up. Say whatever you want to. I hate cold weather. But, man, I'm glad you guys are tuning in this week, and we're going to pick up where we left off from last week. I titled the podcast Watch What You Say, and maybe you guys thought that it was going to be maybe a war about words and how you talk to people and stuff like that, but it really wasn't, man. Last week's podcast had to deal with being cautious of what comes out of your mouth because it has the power to alter your destiny. I'm going to say that again. Be cautious of what comes out of your mouth because it has the power to alter your destiny. And so we talked about Esau and the events that came to follow after, what he said, were that of which that really broke his heart. He showed contempt for who he was as a person. He showed contempt for who he was as a man, as a child of God. And that's a scary place to be. And we also talked about how you got to value who you are because God made you uniquely you. There's nobody else in the world like you. There's nobody else that has your gifts, your talents, your smile, your joy, your laughter. Nobody has that but you. And God thought enough about you to make those distinct traits distinctly yours. And we saw that Esau took advantage of that by showing contempt for that. Like, he had a disgust or disdain for who he was. And God didn't create us to be that way. He didn't create us to compare ourselves to other humans. We're all humans on this planet. But, Paul says that comparison is a thief of joy. And you can see that, in this story, the thief of joy was obviously apparent because, we got two boys that are operating in a type of dysfunction. Well, the whole household was operating in a type of dysfunction, man. And we then later find out that Rebecca and Jacob had conned Isaac out of Esau's blessing. And so that is so crazy to me, man. For he said, or Esau said that he had been conned twice by his brother. Like he'd been fooled or deceived twice. And you know that Jacob's name means deceiver. But, you know, again, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with Jacob deceiving Esau the first time, because there was no deception to be had. He just kind of, you know, there may be some slight manipulation, but he didn't do anything crazy. He just simply asked him, like, hey, man, you want to eat? Then give me your birthright. There was no deception in that. It's just Esau made a poor choice. He made a decision that would alter his destiny, man. And that's kind of, you know, what I want to get to, because last year in season one, or in 2019 in season one, one thing that Charles and I had talked about in the second episode of the podcast was the fact that we talked about the trapstick of unforgiveness. And the reason why we talked about that was because I was going through something at that point in time in my life. And my boy Charles, who was my best friend, was trying to make sure that I didn't fall into an area in my life where I become bitter and I would become vindictive and I didn't become angry. And I think that's important, because a lot of times the Bible is very clear about how our lives and destinies can be changed or altered because of unforgiveness or bitterness, right? Where that root grows in and it makes us act the way that we don't normally act. It makes us become a certain type of person that we don't want to become, you know. So there used to be this saying going around. I hope I get this right. I don't know if I'm old enough to know this saying, but it was like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so, you know, we see that in, this particular story where, you know, Esau is talking to Isaac and he's saying, you know, my brother got me twice. You know, the first time, if you feel like, you know, Jacob had deceived you, yeah, that's shame on him. But the second time, there really wasn't anything you had to do with it either. You know, there was more or less of a scheme that was ran on Isaac, you know. And so we see all this deception going on, and you see there's a bunch of brokenness in the midst of deception. And so, you know, I thought about when I had read the story last week, and then when I had brought it to you guys in the midst of a story, I thought about this one thing. I thought about this one thing in this, and I'm going to read you guys, you know, again in Genesis chapter 27, verses 37 through 40, or maybe we can pick up at 36 through 40. But there is something that I want you guys to catch, you know, in today's message, because it is so vital, and I want you guys to catch it. I want you guys to hear it by the Spirit of God. I pray that you guys catch it by the Spirit of God. I pray that your ears be open, and I pray that you become enlightened. I pray that this light is shown within you so that you can get revelation, so that you can get insight. Man, for the listener who is on today, I promise you, this is going to change something in you. This is going to change something in your spirit. If you're angry, if you're bitter, if you're mad, if you're upset, I promise you, this particular word today is going to free you. Man, may the word of God deal with me as well, man. But if you're listening today, if you're under the sound of my voice, the Spirit of God is going to touch you through what I'm about to share with you. Genesis 27, verses 36 through 40. It says, Esau exclaimed, "No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. For he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me?" And he's talking to Isaac. Isaac said to Esau, "I have made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son?" Esau pleaded, "But do you have only one blessing? Oh, my father, bless me too." Then Esau broke down and wept. Finally, his father Isaac said to him, "You will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck." I am also, guys, going to read again. I'm going to have to share this with you again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. I got to read this to you again because of how powerful this is. I don't want you guys to miss it, because this opens up the text. This opens up what I just read. Okay, so 17, he says, "You know that." Okay, let me back that up. I'm sorry. Let me back that up. Hebrews 12, 15 through 17. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. All right, so let's be real. We pulled the Band-Aid off last week. We talked about the deception. Yep, we talked about the deception and how Jacob got his brother's blessing and how there was a broken household. You know, my perception was that each parent had their own favorite. You know, each child was raised by each parent individually. It doesn't talk about the unison, although the mother and father believed for the twin boys together. However, you could see that they were favored differently by one or the other parent. And so, again, just to bring it back to light, Rebekah and Jacob conspired to deceive Isaac out of the blessing that was due to Esau. And it happened, right? And so, guys, you know, I want to just give God glory right now, because God has more than just one blessing. We serve a God who has a limitless resource of blessing and abundance for everybody to experience. And it is all given to those who are obedient to the word of God, who are obedient to the will of God. You can have anything that you want to have. You will lend and not borrow. You become the head and not the tail. I was talking to my buddy Frank today about this one thing. And we talked about obedience and how God will open the door for all blessings through obedience. And, you know, we're looking at this story. And I said all that to say that, you know, we serve a limitless God, but as according to Isaac, he has limited blessing, obviously, because he cannot bless both sons. He can only bless one. And it tells you, like a little bit early in the chapter, that when he found out that he had been deceived, Isaac had, he said he had trembled almost so uncontrollably. He was so distraught at it, what happened. He was conned out of a blessing that was due to his eldest son. And I don't know about you or those who are listening. At some point in your life, one way or another, you have been deceived. You know, and Isaac, you know, the Bible says in verse 33 that Isaac, you know, began to tremble uncontrollably. You know, he's like, oh, my God, like, what have I done? How could I not know? And sometimes, man, when we're deceived, sometimes when our hearts get broken or we're taken advantage of and we didn't see it coming, that's the one question, like, how did I not see it coming? How did I not know that this thing was going to happen to me? How did I not know that my heart was going to be turned upside down? How did I not know that this person was going to do me this way? How could I not have seen it? And this is something where, man, we can get so caught up on ourselves and we can blame ourselves. But, you know, I think there's always some responsibility in how we perceive the situation. You know, I believe it was Charles Swindoll that said 90% of what happens in life is what happens to you. The other 10% is what you do with what happens to you. That may not be the direct quote verbatim, but, you know, I've heard it said before, like, you know, life is going to happen to you. And you're going to have to look from a standpoint of things not always happening to you. But when you can change your mind and look from the standpoint that things will happen for you, you begin to have a different outlook on the problem. And so while we're in this conversation in the room with Isaac and Esau, and they're both heartbroken, and Esau was expecting this big old blessing, and Isaac was so overjoyed to be the one to give it to him. He was excited to bless his son. And I don't know about my parent on this call or podcast who is not excited to bless their kids with something that they know that they've wanted, something they've always wanted. You know, we just got through with Christmas, and there's nothing more joyful than a parent than to watch their children open up gifts if they've wanted. And this is something similar to that, where we know that Esau went out and hunted, and he made his father's favorite meal, and he brought it expecting something that he thought was due to him. So I can only imagine that, you know, this being the area of heartbreak where you're expecting to receive something from your beloved father that he can no longer give you. And I think that's the point of what happens. And I'm not even sure if it was so much the blessing as much as he knew that this was something he had always looked forward to. Or maybe they had conversations on their walk and talks. Maybe they had the conversations while they were hunting together that, you know, one day, you know, son, I'm going to pass away. But before I pass away, I will make sure that I bless you. And I speak favor over your life. And I speak abundance in your life. And I want to give these things to you. But when you no longer have your father, or you know that you will no longer have your father, I can see how the heartbreak might enter the room. I could see how the disappointment might settle in. I could see how the absence of one's father or mother may weigh heavy on the heart of somebody who was expecting to be blessed or touched or encouraged by somebody they looked up to and loved the most in life. And now you've given this particular thing to somebody else. And not the fact that it was, you know, not only the fact that it was given to somebody else, but it was stolen from you. So I see why Esau said he has stolen my blessing for a second time. And this was true. This particular instance, this was a stealing of the blessing. Again, you heard me say that Jacob and Rebekah had conspired to manipulate, Isaac to giving Jacob the blessing. And that is exactly what happened. And so Jacob gets blessed with all the wine and all the livestock and things of the earth. He gets all these blessings, and all the nations are supposed to bow down to him, and all his siblings will bow down to him, and he'll have abundant harvest of grain and bountiful wine, and all the nations will become his servants. All these things were spoken over Jacob's life. But when it came to Esau, Esau was expecting something that was no longer there. And I know sometimes in life, you can be very disappointed by expecting something or expecting someone who is no longer there. Maybe you took advantage of the opportunity that you had with that person. Maybe you took advantage of the opportunities that you had with a job, or maybe a business, maybe with money or income. Maybe you took advantage of that which came so easily because it was always at your disposal, and you could use it whenever you wanted to use it. You could be there when you wanted to be there. You could hang out with them when you wanted to hang out with them. But what happens when you reach for that person, or you pick up the phone to call that person, and you realize that they're no longer there? You're now left with this big grief and sadness because you could have made the most out of the opportunity of the situation, but it is no longer there. What about the job that you just casually strolled into, and it was paying you good money, and it was bringing income into the house, and you just showed up when you wanted to, and you spoke disrespectfully about the people you work with, and you didn't listen to your superiors, and then they fire you? And so now when you go to look for the money that you was expecting to come every week, it's no longer there. And this is what, I feel this heaviness of Esau, that he is now going to be reaching for something that is no longer there. He had the inheritance in his back pocket the whole time, but, he had his father there the whole time, and he had all these things at his disposal when he wanted to be there. But when you show contempt for who you are, how can you bless somebody that doesn't really care about who they are? How can you bless someone who doesn't, who doesn't value who they are? How do you speak encouragement or life over someone's gifts when they show contempt for what they have? And, now I don't necessarily feel that it's just the blessing that he lost, but also the father that he lost. And now he has no identity because he showed contempt for who he was. When he got up from the table of eating his red stew, he showed contempt for who he was. He didn't care about the gifts that he had. He didn't care that he was a skillful hunter. He didn't care that he could cook. He didn't care that his name was Esau. He didn't care. And so because he didn't care, now that when he reaches out for something that is supposed to give him substantiality in his community, he was going to live abundantly and have all these things bow down to him and be fruitful, and he was going to multiply. But now it's not there. If you show contempt for who you are, then you show contempt for the blessing. If you don't respect who you are as a person, then you don't respect the blessing. If you don't value who you are, then you can't value the blessing. It is non-existent to you. And we see that what came out of his mouth, it showed contempt for what God had for him. Now, this was not an accident to God. God knew this was going to happen. God had told them at the very beginning of this story that the elder will serve the younger. God knew all the time. He knew the whole time that Esau would probably show contempt for who he was. And because he showed contempt for who God made him to be, he would then have to give the blessing to somebody who loved who he was more than show contempt for who he was. And sometimes our situations may speak volumes in a life where they may make us feel that we're less than who we are. But I can't say that, you know, that this is something we should hold on to, because yes, there are instances and moments in our life where what we go through will have a very substantial saying in how we perceive ourselves. But sometimes perception isn't always truth. Because if that perception is outlined by the world's views and values, then how can you really know who you are as a person? If your perception is outlined by the word of God, now we know for a fact that what we say about who we are is true. Okay. So again, we are reading through this message, and Esau he's heartbroken. He's heartbroken. He said he took my rights as a firstborn, which that was not true. He gave away his rights as a firstborn, but now he has stolen my blessing. He says, oh, haven't you saved one blessing for me? Isaac said to Esau, I have made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son? In other words, I have nothing left. I've already given everything that I have to give. And I have nothing left for you. And some of us have been on the receiving end of those words where the person looks at you and says, I have nothing else to give you. I've given you all I have to give. I've given everything that I have to this family, this situation, this circumstance. And now I have nothing left to give. I have nothing left. And sometimes that person can be receptive and they can move on. But other people will keep, you know, plugging and try to drain and drain. Say, yo, don't you have just one? Just one more positive thing, just one more. Can I get one more minute of your time? Can I get one more day with you? Can I get one more moment with you? And sometimes in life, we have to realize there are no more one mores. There are no more. There are no more. And what is more precious than money is time. You can't buy back time. You can't rewind the clock. You can't get more. You can't get more of what is already spent in time. The only thing that, you know, I think one of the movies that depict this the best is the movie Time with, with Justin Timberlake, where everybody had a watch timer on. And sometimes you could give people more time. If you touch wrists, or if you link wrists, and like if you grab the hand and turn it over, you can let somebody borrow time. But everybody had this timer to where their time was running out. And so this is one thing that pressed upon my spirit, that in this time and in this day, we have to make the most out of the seconds that tick, out of the minutes that pass by. So when you really look at your life as a whole, when you look at your day as a whole, when you really sit and meditate on, what did I do today? How many people did I contact? How many people did I pray for? Like, you know, like who did I invite to church? Who did I ask to come to Christ? Who did I pour into? Like what message did I put? Did I do anything uplifting today? Did I do anything to help anyone else? Did I serve myself, or did I serve the people of God? Did I serve God, or did I serve myself? Like, what did I do with the time that I had today? And this is what we find. This is what we find more frustrating than anything, because look, I've been on this end where you're always doing something and you're always busy, but at the end of the day, you feel like I haven't gotten anything done. I went here, I went there, I went to the north, south, east, west, I drove on this part of town, I drove on that part of town, I went and paid some bills, but at the end of the day, I'm like, did I really get anything done that made me feel fulfilled? That gave me purpose? Did I do anything that I could draw energy from? Did I do anything that could boost my spirits? Did I do anything that would give me energy to support my family? Did I do anything that would support my mind and my spirit so that I can be rejuvenated for God? Did I do anything that was going to benefit who I am as a man, woman, husband, father, mother? Did I do anything along the lines that was going to actually pour into me? Or did I just run to and fro and end up becoming drained at the end of the day? And I said that to say, a lot of times we'll come back to a source that has run out and say, do you not just have just one more? Do you not just have just, you know, look, I know I wasted my time. I know I showed contempt for who I was. I know that I could have spent more time with you. I know I could have asked you more questions before you got on your deathbed. I know I could have found out more about who you was and how you loved and served the Lord. I could have done so much more with the time I had, but I know that time is running out now. And I know that you were conned out of my blessing, but do you just have just one more? Like, I'm sorry I wasn't here. I'm sorry I didn't get the things I need to get from you. I'm sorry I didn't, love you the way that I should have loved you. I'm sorry that I didn't become what you needed me to become when you needed me to become that for you. I'm sorry that I didn't do those things. But now that all has run out and my time has run out with you, do you just have just one more? Do you just have one more for me? Just one more blessing. And he says, "Oh, my father, just bless me too, please." Then Esau broke down and wept, because he knew that what was his was no longer his. And I think sometimes that is the guilt trip that when we get caught up in life and we get caught up with how things happen and the way things happen and how things pan out, when we could have acted differently, should have acted differently, wanted to respond differently, wanted to speak up for ourselves, wanted to do the things that should have been done, could have. And we realize that the door is closed. And then we just come knocking and say, "Look, Lord, just do you just have just one more?" I remember Samson when he got his eyes gouged out and he was, grinding at the mill for the Philistines and he was getting ready to die and he didn't want to be humiliated anymore. And he just said, "Lord, just remember me one more time." And these were the last words of that which he wanted to have victory over his enemy. Just, "Lord, please remember me one last time." It was his last plight when he was at the hand of his enemy grinding at the mill. He says, "Lord, just please remember me." And the Lord showed up as he always does when you call upon him. And here we're finding where Esau has had to call out to Jacob. And he says, "Lord, do you just have just one more blessing for me?" And you could more than likely tell that Isaac had this look of sorrow on his face where he has, "I have nothing else to give you. I've already blessed your brother." And then Esau broke down and wept, the Bible says in verse 38. He broke down and wept. And in case you guys don't know, breaking down and weeping, this is what happens when your heart breaks. This is what happens when your heart is shattered. This is what happens when it feels like your heart is completely ripped in two and there's no peace. And this is what makes you sick. And this is what makes you fall into depression. When you can't eat, you can't keep nothing down. You're up all night. Your eyes are red. They're hot. You throw up when you try to eat. They're like this kind of weeping. It says, he broke down and wept. So which means, look, I'm a grown man, and I promise you there are times in my life where when I have broken down, I had no strength in my legs. No strength in my legs. I could not compose myself where my hands shook uncontrollably, just like it says that, Isaac has shaken uncontrollably. And when you break down and you weep, this is not something that happens just for 10 to 15 minutes. It's not something that could be easily eradicated with a pep talk or a pat on the back. This is not something that you could be coerced out of when you are weeping. This is something that endures in your spirit, even when your eyes are dry and there are no tears running down your face. When you weep, this is something that has lasting effects. That although you cannot exemplify what you're going through physically, your spirit still feels it internally. This is something that you cannot turn off with a turn of a knob or you cannot shout over this. This is something that hurts. It stings, and there are almost no words to describe it. It almost feels like your spirit is vexed, as if your inner man is dying on the inside. When you break down and you weep, this is something that endures for many nights, and you don't know when the season is going to end. When you weep, this is much, much longer than just a cry. You can cry from physical pain. You can cry from laughing too much. You can cry when somebody says something that hurts your feelings. But when something breaks you down and you weep, this is a whole nother ball game. We see that Esau says he broke down and he wept. And his father finally said, and this is where your life will be changed. If you can get a hold of this, if you can let this part of the message sink in, let the word minister to you here. I'm about to help you guys right here. Verse 39, Genesis 27, he says, "Finally, his father Isaac said to him, 'You will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above.'" He's saying, "Look, there's nothing on this earth I can give you, and I can't bless you with anything out of heaven. I've already given that to your brother. I can't give you those things." He says, "You will live by your sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. I already read to you Hebrews 12 verse 17 or 15 through 17. This yoke that he's talking about, this sword that he's having to, that he's going to live by. This is the root of bitterness, my friend. Some of you have lived by your sword. You have lived in anger. You have lived offended. You have lived ready for war. You have lived ready to take down. You have lived in this area of vengeance. You have lived in this place of corruption in your spirit. You have lived in this place where you are tormented with evil thoughts and thoughts of getting even, and you're angry and you're mad, and you're fine as long as you don't run into those people that have done you wrong, or that person or that situation or that company or that job. You are living by the sword of vengeance. And he says, you will serve your brother. The crazy thing is a lot of things that we're upset with and we're angry about, we sometimes become a slave to. I want you guys to hear that again. Whatever you're upset about, the bitterness that has taken place in your heart, the thing that has grown its roots so deep inside you, this is the thing that you serve more than anything, because it controls your mind. It controls your actions. It controls how you wake up. It controls when you go to sleep. It controls how much time you spend on Facebook. It controls how many text messages you send. It controls how much peace you have in your day-to-day life. It controls how much time you're on your phone. It controls how much time you spend in prayer. You serve your brother. You live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. This thing that you're angry about is going to take a hold of you, and it's going to make you a slave to it. You're going to be a slave to the thing that you're angry about. You're going to be a slave to the thing you're upset about. You're going to be a slave to your anger. You're going to be a slave to that root of bitterness. You're going to be enslaved by your thoughts. You're going to be you're going to be enslaved by your emotions. Your emotions are going to rule over you. You will live by the sword of your emotions, and then you will serve your emotions. But this is not the freedom part, y'all. Catch what Isaac said. Look, if you didn't hear anything else I said on this podcast, check out what Isaac, he said. He said, but when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. A yoke is what you steer your oxen with. The yoke is what you will put on two oxen when you wanted to plow the land. That is how you control which direction they go. So in other words, Isaac is saying you will live by your emotions. You will serve your emotions, and these emotions will control which direction you're going. But he says, when you decide to break free, you will shake that yoke of bitterness, that yoke of anger, that you will shake that yoke from your neck when you decide. You cannot wait on somebody to apologize to you, because you cannot wait on somebody to free you from offense. Free yourself. You guys got to catch it. Look, you got to catch it. The euphemism, the name that I use, unchain, means to free yourself. You cannot wait on somebody to come and pick the lock for you. You cannot wait on somebody to pick the lock for you, for you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So you have to think intellectually about your problems. Think intellectually about what you're going through. Go through your thoughts. Look at the truth of your situation. How much of it are you going to take responsibility for? You can't take responsibility for somebody else or what they did to you. But however, if you do not fix it, it will control your thoughts. It will control your heart. It will control your mind. And it will make you decide. It will pick your directions for you. It will show you which way you're going. He says you will live away from the richness of earth, and away from the dew of heaven. Why? Because you cannot get heaven to come down to earth, because this is what God does for people who are obedient to him. He is not going to move heaven and earth on your behalf when you're wrapped up in bitterness, when you're wrapped up in anger, when you're wrapped up in your feelings, when you're wrapped up in your emotions. When your emotions control you, that means God is not speaking into your mind. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with emotions. Emotions are good when you need to have them, but you cannot be ran by your emotions. You can't be ran by your emotions. Okay? So I want you guys to get that. Verse 40, verse 39 and 40, he says, you will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above. Not because there's not more than enough to go around. You and I both know that. The earth is full. It is vast. It has multiple resources and it comes from a limitless God. He's not saying that you can't have those things, but he says you will live by your sword. You will live by bitterness and you will live by anger. Because there was something about the spirit in the room at that time. I believe that Isaac picked up on it. He was like, look, I cannot bless you right now because you're angry and you're bitter. I can't give you what I gave Jacob because right now you're angry and all you see is red. All you see is vengeance. He said, because of that, you will live by your sword. And because you live by it, you cannot grow above it. He says, you will serve your brother. You will serve whatever he creates. You will serve it because you're still emotionally attached to the problem. You will serve anything that he produces. Why? Because you're emotionally attached to the problem. Yep, I gave him, I blessed favor over his life. He has favor over the grain and the wine, and he's going to live in abundance. But you cannot break away if you do not come away from the anger. But he says, when you decide to break free, when you decide, you know what, I don't want to be bitter no more. When you decide, I don't want to be angry. When you decide, I want to serve the Lord. When you decide, I want to give God my first fruits. When you decide, I'm going to have a study time with the Lord today. When you decide, I'm going to give him my all. When you decide, I'm going to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul. And I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself. When you decide to commit to God, when you decide these things, then you can live in conjunction with the richness of the earth and the dew of heaven. You can have everything that Jacob has, but you cannot do that when you are wrapped up in bitterness and anger. You can't do it. You cannot do that because God is a God of love. Now, you can sometimes get the overflow of somebody's overflow. You can catch the overflow of somebody else's favor sometimes if you're standing close enough to them. You know, don't take for granted the air you breathe and the life that you have in your body. That, like, that's a gift in itself. But as for favor, you got to put your sword down. As for favor, you got to get rid of anger. As for favor, you got to get rid of bitterness. You got to get rid of bitterness. You got to get rid of it. You can't let it grow down deep in you. You got to get rid of it. It's okay to break down and weep. It happens. Life happens. It's okay to break down and weep. It's okay to ask the Lord to bless you. It's okay. It's okay to weep. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to be angry. But to show contempt for the Spirit of God living within you, that's different. To say it out loud, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit that way, to say you hate yourself, to say you dislike your creation of God. You cannot talk about the Holy Spirit that way. You were made in God's image. But you can't live by your sword. You can't live by your sword. You can't live by bitterness and anger. But when you decide to break free, you're free. When you decide to remove the yoke around your neck and decide that you will no longer be swayed to the left or to the right by your emotions, you're not going to just date somebody just to be dating somebody because you're mad. You're not going to sleep around just because your boyfriend messed around on you. You're not just going to pick up alcohol and marijuana and smoke or shoot up and get high just because you're mad and you're having a bad season in your life. You can't be controlled by your feelings. You got to give it to God. And so I hope that this word touched you in such a way that you guys can hear it, not verbally, not phonetically, not just in your eardrums, but in your spirit. If there are those of you who are listening in and you're having some issues with unforgiveness and you're having some issues with bitterness and you're having some issues of letting things go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. I urge you to let it go so that you can walk in the fullness of God. Let nothing stand between you and him. Show him the deepest, darkest parts of your heart that you've been trying to hold on to. Give him all of your heart, every piece of it. Right now, just give it up to God. Confess to God. Confess to God. You know, God, I'm angry. Please. God, I'm getting bitter. Please. yo, this is the trap stick of unforgiveness. The way others have done us, please do not let me fall into the trap of getting even. The way others have done us, please free us from this mindset. Please free us from these things that will entangle us in this petty back and forth drama. Please, Lord God, place your hand upon my mind. Please take my heart. Please do it to what you will. Open it up. Shake it out. Like let nothing be in there that is not of you. Expose those things to me and help me deal with it, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Those of you who are listening, I'm praying for you right now. If you're under the sound of my voice, I pray that you do not fall into unforgiveness, that you do not fall in rage and bitterness. I pray that this does not consume you. Do not let this thing take root in you. Do not let it grow deep down in you. Ask God right now to remove it. Ask him to remove it. Ask him to take it out. There's somebody who is listening today. Please, Father God, take it out. Take it out so that it grows, that it does not grow deep within them, Father God. Please help this person. Please help them to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to pray about it because they feel so distant right now. So, Father God, I ask that you help them. I pray that the Spirit of God just come right where they are and just deliver them, Father, from this thing that they're experiencing, this thing that they're going through, this thing that has wrenched itself and has a grip on their heart. Father God, by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, I pray that you deliver them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Yo. This was a message, man, that I had to deliver, man, because God had pressed upon my spirit that just these words, when you decide to break free, write that down for this week. Write it down. Put it somewhere. Put it where you can hear it or see it. When you decide to break free, not somebody else to come and give you an apology. I'll stop being mad when they apologize. No. When you decide to break free, whether they apologize or not, when you decide to break free, whether they want to make amends or not, when you decide to break free, whether they give you what you're asking for or not, when you decide to break free, who cares if the job fired you if you think it's unwrong or you think you were done unjustly or you were done wrong? When you decide to break free, y'all, when you decide to break free. Look, man, you guys are in my prayers, and I love you guys. I hope you guys, I hope this word has touched you in a way that you will be delivered and healed, and that you will take internal inventory of what's in your heart. And I pray for healing. I pray for direction. I pray for the Spirit of God to be with you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. I'll see y'all next week. I love y'all to pieces, man.